are great and valuable and precious. So it is put under this category, the greatness of instructions, in this version of the text that is compiled by His Holiness Gyalpo Pabonga. Now then, after that, we get into the actual instruction. Now the actual instruction is divided into 7 points or 7 portions. And the 7 portions are the preliminaries, transformation of bad circumstances into the path to enlightenment, summarized presentation of lifelong practice, evaluation of mind training, commitments related to the training related to mind training, advices related to mind training. So these are the 7 portions that we are going to deal with in step-by-step manner while we go through the actual instruction, the actual body of the text. And out of that, the first one is the preliminaries, and this can also be understood like a foundation or base, the preliminary. And this is the line number 7. The Tibetan reads, first train in the preliminaries. Okay, before that I should also go in the different versions. Now the Pabonga edition of the Alex Berzin's translation says that understanding the significance of this text is like a Vajra diamond, a sun, and a medicinal tree. Transform into a path to enlightenment, this time when the 5 deteriorations are rampant. This is like that, and this one also is same. And this one says, they are like a diamond, the sun, and a medicinal tree. Understand the purpose and so forth of these texts. When the 5 degenerations are flourishing, transform them into the path to enlightenment. So the translations are kind of varying from each other in usage of the different words in order to express the same meaning. So it's like that. Now we go to this first train in the preliminaries. It's also almost same in the Alex Berzin version. Train first in the preliminaries. This also is same. And this one, unfortunately we don't have the name of the translator. This one goes like, initially train in the preliminaries. So these are the differences that we have. Anyway, what does it mean? The preliminaries here, within this word, it comes with a whole lot of instructions. The preliminaries here refer to the practices of small scope path and the middle scope path. And in Lamrim, which consumes almost one third of the whole text, and in Lamrim Namdul, the liberation in palm of your hand, probably this portion is two-thirds of the text, two-thirds of the book. So just in one line in the Lojong, we try to cover everything that is dealt in the two-third portion of the liberation in palm of your hand. So what does it include is the understanding of the preciousness of the human birth and greatness of human birth and meaningfulness of the human birth and all those things related to the contemplation related to the precious human birth. And then the death impermanence, understanding of that and contemplation related to that, and the pain and problems and sufferings of the three lower realms, existence in three lower realms, and then the refuge, teachings related to the refuge, and teachings related to the karma and its result, the cause and effect, and teachings related to the sufferings of samsara, the contemplation on the sufferings of samsara, the whole domain of existence, the conditioned existence, the six roles, and all the different kind of common sufferings that is pervading or exist in all the realms, and then specific sufferings of the specific realms and specific type of birth. So all these things the stages of the path related to a small scope practitioner and the middle scope practitioner is included in this one line. So this is very important here to understand. When we get into train ourselves into the mind training instructions, these conditions are very important that we should first train ourselves into these instructions. Unless having ourselves trained into these instructions, we just keep hopping from nothingness to mind training, it will never help us to get any good result. Probably it could be helpful to think differently, but real benefit to cultivate the bodhicitta will never come up. So it's very important to understand that. So that is the main reason why that great master Padova was not happy with the mind training instructions are make available in the market like a merchandise. And Lamrim is ignored, like that kind of thing, you know. So that is the preliminaries, and now to train in the actual practice. The actual practice. We have two different portions under this. Ultimate training into the ultimate bodhicitta and training into the relative bodhicitta. In the earlier version of the text, the slogans or the lines which is related to the training, instructions related to the training into the ultimate bodhicitta comes first. But in this one, this version that is compiled and put in order by His Holiness Kevji Phapunga, the lines related to the training into relative bodhicitta comes first. So the order is, we need to understand in this way. In an actual order of when a practitioner achieves the path of seeing, the ultimate bodhicitta comes first. And once they come out of that meditative equipoise or equilibrium, then they get into the arising of the relative bodhicitta. So from that point of view, in the other versions they put the slogans or the lines related to the practice of ultimate bodhicitta first. But in this, it is put in kind of a second and later part, because as a common practitioner, it is important to have them trained into the relative bodhicitta first, so that gradually they can grow up to that point when they could be suitable enough and mature enough to train themselves into the ultimate bodhicitta. So for that reason, it is organized in this manner. So we are reading the relative bodhicitta slogans. Now to this is not just that His Holiness Kyabchi Phabunga came up with any kind of imagination and then ordered it, kind of organized it in this manner. He took the idea from the earlier books, the mind training named Rays of Sun, and mind training named the an ornament of the wishes of the Tsongkhapa, and also the mind training named the essence of the nectar. So all these mind training instructions present these two instructions in this order: the relative bodhicitta slogans first and the ultimate bodhicitta slogans later, in this after. So that is why this is ordered in this way. So in order to train ourselves into the relative bodhicitta, first we need to understand that now here, since I told you from the beginning that in the mind training instructions from the beginning, the emphasis is always on training the practitioner, to train the practitioner through the instructions of exchanging the self and others. So in order to do that, we need to look into the instructions of exchanging self and others. Where does it come from and how it is presented in different texts? For that, the Shiksha Samuchya, the work of great Shantideva, says that after training and gaining a familiarity into equanimity, looking oneself and others as equal. And then gradually the bodhicitta will be stabilized. That means then the bodhicitta will be generated or cultivated. So it is very important to train first into accepting oneself and others as equal, a sense of equanimity between the others and oneself. Now this sense of equanimity is not just like to understand that myself and others are all human beings. That kind of equanimity, that kind of equality, not as a meaning of this kind of line. Not also that myself and others are also kind of equally suffering in samsara. Even not that. And not like all of us wish to have happiness. Not even that. So, the special instruction here is, in whatever manner we cherish ourselves, we need to cherish others in the same way, exactly the way we cherish ourselves. If we manage to do that, then we maintained an equanimity. Then we accepted equality in between ourselves and others. That is the meaning of equanimity and equalness in this case. So this is important to understand. And to that, it is important that we need to train in a proper instruction. Unless there is no way that we can get to that point. So for that reason, one of the early scholars of Kadam tradition used to say that as long as we don't see ourselves as our own enemy, there is no way that any instruction can help us to achieve anything. The very moment that we understand we are the worst enemy of ourselves, then from that very moment, the instructions will start helping us, start benefiting us. So what does it mean? Now we go back to the kind of root line of this text. Drive all blames into one. So this is like that. Now in this version is same. Okay. This version. Okay. Now in this version, in this version it is like this. Banish one thing as bearing all blame. And in this version, put all the blame on the one. But this one doesn't come with this line. I don't know for what. I think maybe a missing. Maybe in a different order. Sometimes it comes in up and down order, different order. So it doesn't matter anyway. So you have only listened to different versions of this line. So what does it mean? It means that in the Bodhicharya Avatara, the great Shantideva says that all the unhappiness of the world comes from a yearning to happiness, to be happy and joyful. And in the other time, he says, in the same text, he says that all the harm that exists in the world and all the fear and suffering that exists in the world, all of them come from the self-grasping. For that reason, this evil, why should I have this evil? The self-grasping. Here's the reference for the self-grasping by evil. This, he's pointing to the self-grasping. So, beside that, other great master of Tibet named Thampa Sangye. He says that most of the time, though we feel and though we accept that the source of happiness and the source of unhappiness is something out there, though we feel that and though we accept that, but the real root of those two things is inside our own self. So be careful, like that. And the other text of Lojong named the sharp wheel of a sharp weapon, kind of a weapon of sharp wheel. Wheel of sharp weapon, something like that. the order is again different, because the Tibetan grammar order and the English grammar order is different, you know. The wheel of sharp weapon, you know. In that it says that because of that, now I recognize the enemy. I recognize the kind of enemy. I recognize the thief who kind of cheat me by kind of by hiding somewhere. And I recognize the cheater who cheats me by kind of appearing into the form of myself. So, who is the enemy? The self-grasping. Wow, the self-grasping is the enemy, there is no doubt about that. So it's very clear that whatever harm that comes into our life is all deeply rooted into the self-grasping and self-cherishing thought. If we don't have that, nothing, no kind of harm will come out and cause any damage and destruction to us. So there are a whole lot of such instructions. And further, the Bodhicharya Avatar Rashid says that all the happiness and joy of the world comes from willing and wishing happiness to others. So we need to understand that all the discomfort, harm and pain and the sufferings, whatever we experience in our life, we cannot blame it on others. Now in this country it's a very distinct situation. I cannot be wrong. Someone have to be wrong, you know. This is a very strong approach. But I don't mean that all of you do that. But in general, this is a very strong approach. This I, which is always written in capital in English, is very important, isn't it? We have to capitalize the I, it's important. Unless the I will be lost, because it's very small, you know. So, if someone slip on the pavement and breaks their knee, they need to find someone else to blame for that. And if it is the worst, then they need to squeeze a lot of money from that. In general, it is like that. So, as long as that kind of attitude remains, there is no way that one can drive all blames into one. The one, the self-cherishing, the self-grasping. As long as the harmfulness and the destructive characteristic of the self-grasping and the self-cherishing thought is understood and known well, there is no way that one can get closer to the bodhicitta. So, it's very important to understand that if someone falls sick, if someone faces some kind of difficulties in life, it is coming from self-cherishing thought. It is a manifestation of self-cherishing thought or extreme sense of self-grasping. The greater, the more intensive the self-cherishing is, it will definitely produce more problem and more disturbances and more suffering. It may appear like these kinds of instructions doesn't really make sense. If you don't cherish yourself, then who you are going to cherish? If you don't cherish yourself, you cannot survive. If you don't cherish yourself, you can't do the practice of Dharma. It may appear like that. If we don't do a kind of thorough investigation and analysis, but if we do a thorough investigation and analysis, it is really kind of provable through the kind of contemplation. Just look into our own life. The more we cherish something, there are more chances that we can get upset with that. Of course, we may get a little bit of happiness from that, but the more chances of getting upset and unhappy with that is more. For an example, if I happen to buy a Rolls Royce car, and I do really cherish from the depth of my heart that, and suddenly someone happened to have make a scratch on that, that will be a huge problem, you know. Huge problem. The more I cherish that, the scratch will produce more problem and more pain. And it appears like the more wealth that we build up, the more material wealth we expand, we end up in bigger possibility to create unhappiness to ourselves. If I have less wealth, there are less possibility to produce the unhappiness related to that less wealth compared to the person who have more wealth. So the time when we create more wealth, of course, it is expansion of the self-cherishing thought. At the same time, it is also expansion of the self-grasping thought. As soon as we add up something, we say, mine, it automatically comes. My and mine. And as soon as there is a damage to that stuff, which is added up into this mine, there is a feeling. There is a feeling of uncomfortable feeling. There is a feeling of suffering and pain. So why do we add up? Because of self-cherishing thought. We feel by adding up those things, we will be more happy. We will be more satisfied. Will it be a fame, position, power, everything? Instead of that, if we cherish others, that will be very completely different. If we cherish others, whatever happened to others, whatever good things, there will be always chances to be happy. So it's a very wise and very kind of a reasonable and very kind of down-to-earth approach of bodhisattvas that cherishing other is always better than self-cherishing. Just cherishing one. Just look into the matter. If I cherish one, if something brings good to that one person, there are possibility that I can be happy, I can be satisfied, I can be contented. If I cherish all the other beings, there are more chances. The moment any other being receives anything good, there is always chances to be happy. So, whatever bad thing that happens in reality, in our life, will it be a kind of direct hit on our face by someone else is also related to self-cherishing. From the point of the law of cause and effect, Nothing happens without a cause. So if someone hits at me, definitely there will be some cause. The people surrounding us that we live with definitely is related to us. So if they are related to us, whatever they do, how those act have an impact on our life, definitely it has to be related to our own karma, our own action. Now if it is like that, then someone hits us. In the mundane approach, it appears like it is exactly, I haven't done anything, but someone is hitting me. But in a much wider and expansive manner, if we look into that from the philosophical point of the law of cause and effect, of course there is something. If there is not something, then why just that person hits us, not others, not all others? So there is a whole lot of kind of reason behind that. So if you look at the things in that way, it is really very, very sure. Now, self-cherishing. If we grasp too much on us, driven by that, probably like to eat good food, and probably driven by that, sometimes get one's own stomach upset. It's very common, very easy. Example. So in many occasions, most of the time, we say that innocent kids get into problem because of what? They don't know how to do the things. In the Chinese language, there is an expression. Probably there could be some Chinese whom you know, "pang tao mang." Sometimes you intentionally like to help someone, but in that process to help them, you end up in harming them. Like if a mom is working in the kitchen and kid like to help the mom to bring the cup, and in the process of bringing cup, they have to drop it out and break it. Why do those things happen? Because of kids being innocent, not knowing how to do that. So in the same way, compared to the bodhisattvas, we the common beings don't know how to do the things properly. So in our quest to happiness, we always cherish ourselves and ignore others. And as a result of that, what we get is only the unhappiness and suffering and endless suffering, continued endless suffering. We always get very, very far away from the true happiness. Now, at the other hand, the bodhisattvas who cherish others sincerely from the depth of their heart, they always enjoy happiness and they get closer and closer to true happiness. So that is the reason. Drive all blames into one. Instead, we always try to find out the source and the root of unhappiness and problem outside there, in somewhere, in something, system, or other problem, other beings, or something else. instead of finding it, searching for it within our own self. Then, the second line here, is be grateful to everyone. And in this one, meditate on everyone as kind. And this one, and meditate with great kindness toward everyone. And these are the same. So we have three different versions. It is, of course, yeah, in the original Tibetan word, it comes with the meditate. But this meditate is not something, some kind of, you know, common reference of meditation, to focus one's mind on some kind of point or like that. It is a kind of transformation of the attitude. So transform one's own thought and attitude towards other and be grateful. So why to be grateful? Here it's very important to understand. As I explained earlier, the Bodhisattva's way of life have said that in earlier. And beside that, the living beings, the sentient beings, are like it's like a great mine of precious metals or precious stones. Because if we cherish them, we can gain a lot of things from it. If we care for them, we can gain a lot of things for them. We can get huge opportunity to accumulate merit and all the good things. So we need to be grateful that the living beings are there. If the living beings doesn't exist, we cannot do the practice of charity. Whom will we do it? To the mountain? To the river? To the street? Of course, we need to have a living being out there to receive the things that we give. If there won't be the living beings, how we are going to practice the patience? If there won't be the living beings, to whom we are going to be the kind and caring? To the stones, to the trees, to the mountains and rivers? So, if we look at the things from that angle, we really need to be very grateful to all the living beings. Because of the living beings, we get all these opportunity to serve them, to be kind to them, to practice the charity, to practice the patience, all those things. Beside that, if we look at the things from different angle, we have to be grateful for all the people, all the living beings. Because of them we survive, because of them we live. Just imagine living alone without any living being. Probably it is going to be very, very tough and very difficult to survive. And whatever we consume in our life, drinks, foods, everything comes from the living being. Nothing drops from the space, and nothing comes out from the earth by itself. There is an effort of human being involved. Though we feel that, we pay for that. What is the great deal? But to pay for that, we need someone to produce it. If someone is not producing it, even we are capable to pay, we cannot get it. We need the whole system. System of the market and everything. If the living beings are not there, the whole system of the market won't be existing there. Just imagine in one day's time, we drink coffee from somewhere like, you know, probably Argentina. And we eat rice from somewhere kind of India or somewhere else. In this country, especially like that, you know. And you may eat some kind of things, some kind of fishes that is coming from somewhere else in the other part of the world. If there are no those beings, no those living beings doing all those things and producing those things, how can we get it there, get it here? And there is a whole lot of involvement of the people in transporting all those things and labeling, and then at last, at the end, making it available on the shelf. So there is constant involvement of every other being in our life. We need to be grateful. Our clothes, we don't produce any clothes. All this is coming from somewhere else. Even the money itself, without the involvement of other living beings, there won't be the money available. Money is a production of a system. If the system won't be there, how could money be existing there, you know? So, we are deeply dependent on existence of other beings. Completely. From the beginning. From the first day of our existence. If there won't be a caring mother, probably when we are kids, we definitely don't have that capacity to survive more than 24 hours, more than 50 hours, more than 3 days. So from the beginning, from the first, very first moment until the death, we are dependent on other beings. In this country, most of the time people cherish the independence. Is that a real independence or the imaginative independence? I don't know. What kind of independence is that? So it's like that. So from that angle, whatever good things that we get in our life, we always have to get it from the other living beings. So if it is like that, why should we ignore them? Why? Is there any good reason to ignore them? It doesn't really make any sense to ignore them and just cherish oneself. And all the great achievements into the path is always dependent on others. Our teachers, our peers, and the living beings to whom we practice all the different types of instructions. So it's very important to understand that, and driven by that kind of understanding, feel grateful to everyone that keeps around, that exists around us. So let's just stop here for today, and now we are doing the long life prayer, and after that the quick return prayer. Okay, you have this quick return okay, long life prayer first. Okay, ready? The mere appearance of the myriad signs of your personal beauty on the surface of the mind's mirror makes one's vitality adamantine, O God of long life. Bestow blessings, we pray to the kind, eminent Guru, who has abandoned all faults and perfected all realizations, the way of great enlightened, who has tamed himself with the nectar of the three types of mukta. Explaining vast scriptures, O Lord, noble protector of the world, for the liberation of the afflicted beings, this divine sit prominently and firmly on the indestructible throne, supported by eight lions for an ocean of oil. O moon of eloquence, the radiance of the light, O swells the vast milk ocean of the doctrine of the Jetsongkhapa, glittering with the splendor of the jewels of liberation, may you live long. You are the unprecedented second Lord of the gods, arrayed with the thousand eyes that distinguish the reality of the way of Dharma, beautified with the jewel ornament of love for sentient beings, possessing the hundred-pronged vajra of the bones of mighty Dharyana. May you live long, O Supreme Guide, King of Kings, endowed with the fortitude to explain hundreds of texts, with the fangs and claws that destroys the hearts of misleading guides, rich in the wealth of eloquent speech and composition. May you live long, O Lord, who has banished conceptual thought that clings to the ordinary appearance, who is mastery over the supreme realizations of the stages of Tantra, in which whatever appears manifests as purity. May you live long as Vajra holder. May the kind spiritual teachers, skilled in teaching us the key points of the good path, without mistake, just as it is, may they live long. May their wishes be spontaneously fulfilled. May they be pleased to nurture us continuously throughout our future. By the blessings of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, by the power of unerring causal dependent energy, by the truth of our pure aspiration, may the good result of our prayer be spontaneously fulfilled. Okay, ready? O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us your nectar, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive pure and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfected realizing within his mind the threefold ethics, pure essence of the explicit system of Singapore's preachings. He who has raised the parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is the son of all, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma in sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunate of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is concealed. Please reincarnate soon as new light of Dharma. Out of your compassion that never abandons us, please return soon as supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teachings of the Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individual disposition and capacities. Please return soon as the great Dharma King, who will be known in all directions, a smashing into pieces, a mountain of misguided teachings and views, through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three divisions. Please return soon like your previous self, an expert in five major sciences of Buddhism,
who well affirms the rules and articulation of the teaching, captivate the hearts of all the scholars, and create deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication. In regards to the perfect view of meditation and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus, that is the golden teachings of Tsongkhapa. By the power of three infallible jewels, by the power of independent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good weekend.